Hey everyone, Mario Salinas here with Storytime. In December of 2023, as the year was winding down and coming to a close, just a couple weeks before Christmas, I found myself back home in Cyprus visiting my parents. My dad was having some procedures for a heart surgery that's upcoming, and I went to support him in that and also drive him to the hospital and make sure that he made his appointments and took care of him as much as I could those few days that I got to go to Cyprus. And that trip had been on the tail end of about 120,000 miles of travel over the last 2 months before that time. And I was exhausted. I think I had COVID, even though I never diagnosed myself so that I wouldn't know that I had it because I had to travel everywhere. But I felt terrible, and I was able to get to Cyprus, and my mom with her Cyprus mother home remedies was able to bring me back to full life and health within a few days. But during that time, I got to visit with the family and had a wonderful time, and maybe some story times for another time will emerge from my processing of my time in Cyprus. But for now, I'd like to share with you an incident that took place on my way home. So in order to return, I was going to London from Cyprus, from Larnaca flying to London, and then from London to Madrid, because my daughter Chloe was in Madrid. Danielle and I had visited her before. I helped set her up in Madrid for her semester abroad. Danielle had gone and visited her during the semester, and now I combined my return from Cyprus with bringing her home from Madrid. And it was going to be a good time for the two of us. We were going to do some Christmas shopping. We were going to make sure that her apartment was all ready to deliver back to the landlord of the apartment. And then Chloe and I would fly back together within a couple of days. So my first stop from Larnaca, Cyprus was London. And I had a few hours of layover, so I was able to go straight from my flight to a business class lounge because of the way I was flying. And the business class lounge at London Heathrow is to the left of when you go through all the security as you arrive from any international port. You go through this security and then off to the left. I can picture it right now as I say it. I've been there so many times. And as I was checking in and going through the security, I was so tired. I couldn't wait to get to Madrid and go sleep. Chloe had things to do, class she was finishing up, and other things. I was going to see her later that night, and I needed rest. So I went into the lounge and I got myself something to eat and a coffee, and went to use the restroom. And the restrooms at the business class lounge in London Heathrow are outstanding. Perhaps some of the best I've seen. Maybe Singapore would rival that with the Qatar business class lounge. And I'm not saying business class lounge to prove anything or to show off. This is the way I travel. I've told the story internationally of the process I went through with Yahweh to get to a place where I could travel this way. For me, it's not a luxury. With the amount of travel I do, it's a necessity. So I'm not dropping here names of business class lounges to sound important. I don't need that, and you don't either. But it was an outstanding setup for these bathrooms in London Heathrow, because you have your own setup. You have a shower and a bathroom, a toilet, and the sink, of course, and a place to lay your things and a place to open your bag, and you have privacy. There's no time limit on how long you can be there. You just have to wait your turn for one of them to open up. And there were 10 or 12, maybe 15 different bathrooms. And there was an attendant there making sure everything's clean, continually cleaning the floors and taking care of everything and very kind, greeting everyone. And I waited for about half a minute and then one opened up. And the lady actually notified me that there's one open way over there. I didn't see anybody coming out, but she must have been cleaning it and someone must have come out before. I don't know. what happened, but when I walked into this bathroom and I closed the door and locked it, on the counter, immediately into my attention came what was on the counter right next to the sink. Two large, thick, gold male rings, unlike anything I had ever seen before. Now, I'm around people who like rings. Some of the people you hear on Wisdom's Echo are my friends. We've bought rings together. We've bought rings for each other. We like gemstones. We like metals, precious metals. We like gold. We like wearing rings. And sometimes you'll see us in conferences wearing rings. I have nice rings. I've been gifted nice rings. I had nice rings made. Danielle and I have matching rings. But I had never seen anything like those two rings that were on that counter next to the sink. And immediately, I knew what had happened. Somebody came and used the bathroom, was going to wash his hands. They were undoubtedly male rings because they were very large. And they were male, masculine-looking rings. And it wasn't like a diamond ring that a woman would get for her engagement or anything like that. They weren't in any way feminine-looking. They were a man's ring. And so a man came, washed his hands, took the rings off. When he washed his hands, because the rings had such elaborate, intricate work in them, I understand this because I have rings like that. Sometimes I take them off, but I put them in my pocket in that case so that I don't forget them, because that can happen to anyone. And they don't want to get the lotion or soap into those intricate parts of the ring or those crevices of the ring. So they took the rings off, put them on the counter, washed their hands, wiped them off, and left without picking up the rings. That's what I assumed had happened. And so my very next thought was, how do I get these rings to someone who will ensure they get to their owner? I think it's needless to say here, in this crowd and in this audience, I don't think there's anyone who speaks at Wisdom's Echo or anyone who listens to Wisdom's Echo that would imagine me or you keeping the rings and walking out of there with them, right? That's a given. We walk in a very high level of integrity in the kingdom. If it's not ours and it doesn't belong to us, we're going to return it. This isn't like finding a dime or a nickel or a quarter or whatever coin you have in your nation on the ground and picking it up and putting it in your pocket. This is a very valuable possession. The rings had carvings on the inside of them. They were very personalized and very, very expensive. Have I pointed that out enough to say these were extravagantly crafted and very well put together rings with gemstones? I think there was diamonds in one of them, thick gold, at least an ounce and a half in each one. And there's no question that I was going to return the rings. The question was, why, right? Is it only because I'm honest and because I'm a son of God and I walk with a level of integrity whereby if I find something of value that I know belongs to someone that they will be missing if they don't find it, I will make sure I return it. If it doesn't belong to me, I'm not going to keep it. Is that the only reason? And as I process this, both in the bathroom, but also especially afterward on my flight to Madrid, and since then, thinking about it from time to time, I realized there's another reason why I processed before coming out of that bathroom what I would do to ensure that these rings get to the right authorities that will then have them, keep them, and properly return them to their owner. It was the fact that I see myself as a guardian of an environment that I'm privileged to step into. I see myself as one who not only partakes of what that lounge has to offer, but when I have opportunity to, I also safeguard it. And by returning valuable rings to their owner, I was doing just that. That I am a guardian of an exclusive environment that Yahweh afforded me to enjoy, made possible for me through my agreements with Him to be able to fly this way, to be in this environment, to be able to have a lounge to put my feet up in, to have a nice meal, to have a cup of coffee, to have a private bathroom to use instead of being in other parts of the airport where I had been for years and getting beat up for traveling 120,000 miles. I could not have done it if I had to do it that way anymore. However, Yahweh made a way for me to be in this environment. And in a way, I'm a guardian of it. And because of that, I had to make sure that it remains that way. That if I lost my rings, if I lost my watch, if I lost something of value, I could be certain that if I went to the counter or I went to the authority responsible for such things in that particular lounge, they would have it for me because someone turned it in. Because everyone who is there understands that there's a code that governs the way we operate. There's a protocol that we are here because this is a special place that we earned our way into or were gifted our way into, and we treasure it and we want it to stay that way. It's kind of the same way I believe we should see the way we treat the planet, the way we treat the schools that we go to, the way we treat the workplace that we work in. Do you leave the place better than what you found it when you walk into a space, right? But when I was a leader of a church, when Danielle and I led Valley Shore Assembly of God in Old Saybrook, Connecticut for 16 years, during that time, I noticed after a few years that some of the younger people in particular felt very safe to share their dreams, not only with us, but also with the congregation. Let me give you an example. There was an extraordinary songwriter among us who also led worship, a phenomenal musician. He can play so many different instruments very, very well. He can write songs. He can organize electronic music. He was an outstanding worship leader. He built an amazing team. They made a recording together. And so whenever he would write a new song, he would play it first at the church. And I was certain that if he didn't feel safe, he wouldn't have done it there. Because he felt we were going to encourage him. We would only give him positive feedback. And if he asked for any feedback beyond positive feedback, we would do it in the most gracious way and not in a way that cuts down or tears down the work he had put into this. That was his baby and we treasured it. When people wrote books, it was the same thing. When people played instruments for the first time or got involved with different areas of church life, artists would draw while I would speak, for example, and then they would come up to me and show me their drawings and they would say, the extent to which you're anointed is the extent to which I am gifted to do art during your preaching session. And I took pride in that. I was really excited that someone felt safe enough in that environment to draw while I was speaking and to be super creative and then to come and show me and be vulnerable, if you would, with their creativity and their creation. It's because I was a guardian of that environment. I remember instructing the worship team, do not go up on the platform or come off the platform one at a time. Be together. Be in a group. Have what we call a buddy system in the U.S., like kids when they're on different field trips and such. They have a buddy system where they're always with someone. I said, always be together. That way no one can pick you apart. Nobody can come and say, that was too loud. I didn't like that song. That song was too whatever. Those things have happened. But I was a guardian of that environment. And it is an exclusive environment. It's one where we met with the presence of Yahweh. It's one where there was a gate pointing people to the presence of God and to the realms of our Father. And I did not want someone's opinion or someone's rudeness or someone's brokenness or hurt to hurt other people. And so with this story time, I want to challenge everyone listening to this to consider what environment you have exclusive rights to, whether it be a bedroom in your home where you and your spouse live, or whether it's a living room where the rest of the family gathers, or whether it's a workspace or a cubicle even at the workspace. Whatever environment you're assigned to, you are stewarding, and that environment is under your command. That space, that atmosphere, that unique realm, if you would, is something you must safeguard and protect and have the right to, and how I believe the authority of heaven backing you up to do so. And that's how I felt about that bathroom at Heathrow Airport, where I found those two magnificent rings. I wish I had taken a picture of them. I didn't even think to do that because I felt like that would be wrong. So what I did, just to finish the story, lest you're wondering, what did he do with the rings? I almost forgot. I opened the door and went straight to the attendant that was mopping the floors. And I said, ma'am, someone left two rings on the counter next to the sink. I would like for you to turn them into the proper authorities that would keep these rings until the person shows up that left those rings there. Are you able to do that, or is there someone else I should talk to? She said, actually, that is my responsibility and I will take care of it. I said, how will I know that this was done? She said, you will hear an announcement that objects were found in one of the bathrooms and would their owner come and claim them. And sure enough, within a few minutes, I heard an announcement, and then I knew that my job was done. I had guarded the realm that I had stepped into, and then I walked out of the lounge and went to board my plane and go to Madrid to see my girl, Chloe. I love you guys. I hope you got something out of this. Guard the realm you're responsible for. Shalom.